know that sometimes we don't understand the fullness of what God does, but he comes across sometimes in the most awesome places and times. And my morning was a little bit different this morning, and so just bow your heads and we're going to ask God for grace. And I'm asking you, Father, for your anointing upon these words, that they may bring life to those who have a need for life, for power for those who have a need for power, strength for those who have a need for strength, sustenance and grace for those who have a need for sustenance and grace, in Jesus' precious name. Amen?
Amen.
As I was coming off the highway, I heard Zechariah chapter 4. So that's where we're going. Zechariah chapter 4. I also heard loud and clear he wanted to use the Amplified. So those of you who don't have the Amplified, there's a few words that might hit home. And what I usually do is I put a little note in the margin of my Bible, adding the extra word that'll kind of put in the punchline to make it alive. How many know sometimes one word can change a whole sentence by adding one little explanation or one little addition? Because one word can really manifest something very special. And I did see a vision when I was reading this, and I believe we will be putting it to work a little bit later. But Zechariah was a man of the Lord, and in this chapter, he's questioning God. And I underlined one verse that was quite powerful. In verse 4, he says, "So I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?'" Well, the reason I underline that is because sometimes we think we can understand something when God shows us something, but when God's angels are on the job, they're there to explain things to us if we're humble enough to ask him. And there are times I've seen things and I thought I saw what I believed what it was, but it really had a different meaning. And I was always nosy with God. Ever since I was a teenager, I drove my teachers cuckoo, especially the religious teachers, because I was never satisfied. The miracles and the things that happened and all these awesome things that I heard about, I wanted explanation. So obviously I irritated a lot of people. So definitely if God sends an angel to me, you know darn well I'm going to say, "What are these? Tell me, I want to know. I'm nosy." Okay? So be nosy. Isn't that a cool job? And the angel, verse 1, "who talked with me came again and awakened me like a man who is wakened out of his sleep." So now, you know that many times angels will show up in the night hours. Verse 2 said, "And he said to me, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'I see and behold a lampstand all of gold, with its bowls for oil on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to each of these seven lamps, which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowls, and upon the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil.'" That's the in parentheses. Feeding it continuously. In other words, they're sustained by the oil. "So I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' The angel said, 'Who talked with me answered me, Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.'" So in other words, the angel expects him to know it. But the guy says, "Forget it. You know." "Then he said to me, 'This,'" and in parentheses it says, "'addition of the bowls to the candlesticks, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive tree, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel.'" Now, When there's a continuous flow of oil into your life, it's coming from God. And it is to sustain you and keep you bright and keep you, because in those days, they used oil in lamps to keep light. There was no electricity like we know it today. So for us to say, oh my God, oil for a lamp is kind of a foreign language. But in reality, at that time, it was the only sustenance they had for light. So if you would try to crawl around the house for a few times without a flashlight and without any lights on in the house, how well would you do? You wouldn't do so well. You'd be challenged. Same thing happens here. But again, he says, the oil is the word of the Lord to you, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. Now that amplification makes it very clear. Sometimes you're going to be down in the dumps. You're not going to be feeling happy about what's going on. The job might be boring. And you're going to need a word from God to keep you alive. That will be the living oil that keeps you sustained. And you need to knock on God's door and say, look, I'm having a hard time today. I need something to kind of light me back up. How many have ever gotten depressed? Oppressed. Heavy. Discouraged. So you all qualify. But you see, knocking on God's door is whose job? Ours. And we need a word. I need something to sustain me. I'm having a hard time. When you come together in the body of Christ, the word might come through an individual. The word might come through the word of the scriptures. It might come through a testimony of somebody else. It might just be somebody that thinks they've got, oh, this crazy vision I had. That don't make a darn bit of sense. But for the person who has a need, it might be their sustenance for the rest of the week. I've seen myself when I was struggling. And the Lord would use the pastor sometimes in a message like what I'm giving. And by golly, it kept me alive for weeks. Because I would be able to go back and I'd rehearse. Well, not by what? Might. Nor by power. But by the Holy Spirit. This is going to be done. Now, how many have ever had a frustration that they can't shake loose? And you're irritated and it gets you angry. And your emotions are tied up in knots. And you want to knock somebody's teeth out. Yes? Well, this is declaring to you that it's not by might. You might be strong and knock their teeth out, but you're not going to solve the problem. Nor by the power that you have, which you might be quite powerful. And you might beat somebody up real bad. But it won't change their character. They're just going to wait for another sneaky attack and hit you when you're not looking. Amen? And that happens in the natural realm, and it happens in the realm of the spirit. So if you're depending on yourself and your own abilities, I've got telling you right now, you've got a fool for a friend. And that fool happens to be yourself. I've learned over and over and over that this word was a powerful word for me because I would declare it. And I remember we used to have this little song we used to sing. Not by power, not by, not by work, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. And we sang it over and over. I'll tell you, that song kept me alive when I was crying all the way home. Or all the way to work, because it depended on the circumstance. And it's when you're alone that the enemy says, you'll never see a victory there. You'll never see somebody turn around and apologize for what they've done. And I'll tell you, there are some that have never apologized, but you know what? That's God's problem now. Because my emotions are finally out of the way. It's when my emotions grab me and I get all torn up on the inside and then I feel sorry for me and oh boy. All right, there's none of you guys around here for that. Anyway, it says very clearly, not by might, nor by power, nor by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 7 is also very important. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Of human obstacles is not in the NIV. But you know what? It explains it. It makes it clear. Human obstacles, like a person who's being an irritation. How many have ever had troubles with mom and dad? Thank you. Like to trade them in for a few months? Would never happen, right? Well, I've got news for you. It happens to every single human being. Mom and dad can be an irritation. In-laws and outlaws can be an irritation. Yes or no? Okay. So watch again. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles before Zerubbabel? Who, with Joshua, had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him? By the way, the word Babylon is confusion. Babylon is also Iraq on the map. Why is our country being brought into a place of confusion? And we can see the confusion actually spreading like a mushroom over all of the people in Washington. I'm not trying to decree anything that God's word hasn't already declared. The rebuilding of our nation has been stifled by confusion. And those that are in authority are under that anointing, and they don't even have a clue that their negative forces are trying so desperately to capture our nation because we have liberated a people in Iraq. We are the instruments, along with several other nations, that were used to bring those people so that they're no longer killing each other, or the officials in their government are no longer killing their own people. Do you think that the negative forces are happy with this kind of a fruit? Those people are coming to life again, and there's life coming into that nation. Many, many of our people that went to Iraq testified about Jesus to those people. Some are going into Afghanistan, some are in Afghanistan. What do you think they're doing? They're on the land, possessing the land. The believers that are out there, like our brother Daniel. Yes, and now we have another Daniel. And I understand, what is this young man doing?
He's in Japan right now.
He's in Japan, so do you think his footsteps are carrying an anointing into Japan?
Yes.
Yeah. And why are you carrying him in your heart? Yeah. You don't see, oh, it's just a happening. No, it's not. It's a coordinate from God. Just to kind of show you how God works. My wife and I have been married for 51 years. We've been going out together this month. It's going to be 54 years we've known each other. We got to know each other in July. Friday night, there was a birthday party in our family. And we were at my wife's cousin's house. And her husband, who passed away several years ago, has a sister and a brother that are still living. Now, my wife has known this girl. She went to school in grade school with her. Okay? And high school. They went to high school together. Now, my wife has known this woman all her life, even though she lives in Ludlow. We, you know, don't see each other every week. But periodically, when there's a family function, we do connect once in a while. And, of course, they were at this family function. And Friday night, my wife and this woman got to communicate. And my wife was told by this woman, she says, Irene, are you aware that I was with you in July of 1956 when we went to church together? She said, do you have any idea what you said to me? And it came back to me this week. So my wife said, no, Shirley, I have no idea. What are you getting at? She says, well, you and I were sitting next to each other in church, and you saw this new family that had moved into Three Rivers, and you said to me, I'm going to marry that guy. She had never met me. But she saw me going to church. I had just moved into town. I moved into town in June of 56, the middle of June. And Irene never knew and remembered nothing of that conversation with her friend Shirley. She found that out this week. What does that tell you? Do you need a relationship of 20 years or 50 years before you decide to really say this guy's the one I want or that girl's the one for me? I love you, girl. I thought I'd give you that as seed. It's Holy Ghost seed, girl. Okay? It's Holy Ghost seed. And you know what? We're still together. Now, I'm not saying that it was all perfect. I'm not saying there weren't challenges. But I am saying it was of God. And I can tell you, when I met her, the very first time when she walked through the door, I knew in my heart, that's my wife. I didn't tell her right away. That wasn't her business. That was my business. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is working in His chosen vessels. Okay? And it's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power. It's going to be by His power. Working inside of you, whether you know Him or not. Did I know the Holy Spirit was on my case when I was 16 years old and she was 19 and I was going to marry this woman? Are you out of your tree? I didn't have a clue, but I knew that was the one for me. Now, has anybody else in here ever had that experience? Put your hand up. Yes! Thank you! It's good to know that God is in the control room. Now, does that mean that everybody has that same experience? No. Doesn't mean that. What it does mean is, if you are patient, and to the best of your ability, God will give you grace. And it's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power. It's going to be by His Holy Spirit that He'll keep you going. What about the human obstacles? They're going to be there. Now, the rebuilding of the temple before Him. I believe our nation is going to be rebuilt by the same Holy Spirit that rebuilt Jerusalem. It's not going to be a different plan. It's going to be the same plan because our God is always the same. He takes what has been crushed and crumbled, and He'll rebuild it better and greater than it was before. So look at your neighbor. See, our country may be falling apart. Many are trying to destroy it. But God's on the job. It's not by power. It's not by might, but by the Holy Spirit. It will be done, says the Lord. And there's a continuous flow of oil coming into me to keep me alive so that I can sustain God's plan for the U.S. of A. Amen? Amen. Okay. Let's go back. I'd like to give to you verse 7 one more time. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles before Zerubbabel? Who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon? Who was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him? That was the temple in Jerusalem. You shall become a plain or a mere molehill. And he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple, with loud shouting of the people crying, grace, grace to it. When you shout grace to yourself, you're rebuilding yourself. When you're shouting grace to the problem in your life, you're shouting a victory. You're shouting a resurrection power. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, shout grace to yourself. How many have had a problem with their wallets? And there's money that's needed. Did you ever lay hands on your wallet or your checkbook and say, grace, grace to it? See, your words can either bring life. Oh, my God. I feel so sorry for me. It's all flat. There's nothing left in it. Oh, no. How can I go out tonight? You have that choice. Or you can lay hands on it and say, by the grace of God, something's going to multiply in there. And I'll be able to give because I know how to give. And God will give seed to the sower. That's how He works. That's how He works. So it's not a human obstacle that you should focus on. It should be the one who supplies the grace. Moreover, verse 8, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hand shall also finish it. Meaning what God starts, God finishes it. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, who, with reason, despise the days of small things. For these seven shall rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I said to him, what are these two olive trees in the right side of the lampstand and on the left side of it? And a second time I said to him, what are these two olive branches, which are besides the two golden tubes, or sprouts, by which the golden oil is emptied out? And he answered me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Notice again, he's not afraid to say, I don't understand. Then said he, these are the two sons of oil, the two anointed ones, who stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Now get ready, because I'm going to step you out of tradition. Because tradition would give you all kinds of explanations. But I'll tell you what those, I believe, olive trees are. The first one is Christ Jesus himself when he came in the flesh. And the second one is the corporate body of Christ that's being prepared to come to life. And it's the same Holy Ghost that's going to sustain both. I could be wrong, but just check it out and see what the Holy Spirit tells you. Check it out and ask the Lord, is the corporate body of Christ coming to life full of God's presence so that we can do a greater work in this earth and set our nation back on course and then bring the world in freedom? Close your eyes. Father, let your Holy Spirit bring confirming voices in multiples of levels along with your word to confirm to these people and those that listen to this message that they can see the hand of the Lord set our captives free and set our nation free again so that we can share this freedom with all the nations of the world to glorify our Savior and Lord. And all of God's people said, be blessed. Bless one another. Share some hugs with each other. And if you